Brethren and Sisters, San Jose Campground, California, June 26, 1905. Dear Brethren and Sisters, as we returned from the General Conference, we stopped 10 days in Southern California, and between the council meetings at Los Angeles, we made a short visit to San Diego and spent 4 days at the Paradise Valley Sanitarium. I am much pleased to see this sanitarium fully furnished and in running order. I was glad to see the patients and to hear of their improvement in health. My heart rejoices as I review the way in which the providence of God worked to help us to secure this property. The building is homelike and is admirably adapted for sanitarium work. And since the opening of the institution, the patronage has been good. Even before the building was ready, patients began to come. They urged themselves in before those in charge were ready to receive them. It was impossible to refuse to admit them, and the workers have done the best that could be done under the circumstances. A most interesting class of patients has come, among them ministers, lawyers, stockmen, farmers, and state senators. So far, the work has been carried on under difficulties. The building has been furnished completely and well, and yet without extravagance. But it has never been supplied with proper treatment rooms, and it is impossible for the workers to do satisfactory work without better facilities in this respect. Good work has been done in the small treatment rooms which were in the original building, but the nurses have had to contend against many difficulties. Plans have been drawn up by a competent architect for a two-story addition in the form of an L, which will provide more kitchen room, a helper's dining room, 11 more bedrooms for patients, an operating room, physician's offices, and complete roomy bathrooms. I am in harmony with the plans for this addition. The treatment rooms are practically outside of the present main building and yet are connected with it. They are to be provided with every facility for the giving of thorough treatment. It is estimated that about $8,000 will be needed to build and equip this addition, including the treatment rooms. We have not in hand the necessary means, and we ask those who have money that they can spare to help us to put this institution in complete working order. The treatment rooms are a positive necessity to the best success of the institution. The main building is all that could be desired. It was in the providence of God that we obtained it at so low a price. Its original cost was about $25,000. The grounds are well laid out and are beautified by ornamental trees. The climate is all that could be desired. There is no reason why the sick cannot be treated successfully at this institution, but the necessary facilities must be provided. More decided efforts are to be put forth in Southern California. There is a great work to be done in this field. We have done all in our power to advance the work there, and now that this sanitarium property in San Diego country has been purchased, we call upon our brethren and sisters to aid us in properly equipping this institution, that it may do successful work. I ask those who have been entrusted with the Lord's money to make gifts to this sanitarium, that it may be prepared to do the work that must be done for the sick and suffering. Brethren and sisters, I plead with you to help forward our sanitarium work. The Paradise Valley Sanitarium is in need of assistance. We have evidence that the money expended there has been used wisely and well. The strictest economy has been shown in all that has been done, and advantage has been taken of every opportunity to save means. At the beginning of our work, the manager heard of some furniture for sale by a family's leaving the district. He went to see it and found that they could obtain some first-class furniture for the same price that they would have to pay for a cheaper grade. They gladly availed themselves of the opportunity and thus obtained very cheaply enough furniture of the very best quality to furnish 5 rooms.
I know that the work of this sanitarium must be carried forward. During the 2 visits that I have made to the institution, I have realized that the Spirit of the Lord is in the sanitarium, and that the work is being carried forward in a way that will glorify God. Those in charge of the institution are doing all in their power to make it what the Lord desires it to be. Every morning, worship is held in the parlor, and the patients are invited to attend. I have had most precious seasons of refreshing in attending these services. A portion of Scripture is read, then there is singing, and earnest prayers are offered that the great medical missionary will let his health-giving presence bring light and comfort and peace. I have had the privilege of speaking to those assembled at these seasons of worship, and I myself have been comforted in the effort to help and encourage others. I testify that the blessing of the Lord has come to us in rich currents of love and hope and joy. I have realized the presence of the great healer, and I know that his power will be exercised upon the sick and suffering to bless and heal. The business that must be done in connection with our institutions can be done in a straightforward manner. A man may not have all the education and training to enable him to do at once all the work that needs to be done. But if he cherishes in his heart the light and presence of Christ, if he is influenced by the love of the Savior, if he does not live unto himself, but for the one who gave his life for the life of the world, he is to be trusted and respected. We are all the Lord's workers, bought with a price, and whatever our hands find to do, we are to do with our might. Thus we shall gain increased capability, because the Lord will provide the faithful worker with the strength and courage and ability necessary for the doing of the work required. There is a great work before us. Christ descended from the throne of his glory, laying aside his royal robe and kingly crown, and came to this earth in the likeness of humanity. He was born of lowly parentage, and he lived the life of a poor man. He clothed his divinity with humanity, that humanity might touch humanity. He came to set an example of self-denial and sacrifice, to show human beings the work that they should do in behalf of humanity. He descended from the throne of his glory to become one with us, to suffer the sorrows of humanity, and to die to save a rebellious race. Are we following the example that Christ has left us? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How blessed it is to trust in such a Savior! In establishing sanitariums, we are carrying out the purpose of God. This work is the work of God. Through the means of our sanitariums, the sick and suffering in the highways and the byways of life are to learn of the healing power of Christ. Those who have received the light are to show in their lives that they are God's medical missionaries. By being partakers of the divine nature, they are to become co-laborers with Jesus Christ in every line of work that will bring relief to suffering humanity. In our sanitariums, a pure religious influence should be paramount. Solemn impressions are to be made on the minds of those who come for treatment. The very highest interests are to be given the first attention. The accumulated light of the past, which has made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists, is to shine forth through us to the world. The light of truth is to illuminate and irradiate all our sanitariums. The helpers are to be light-bearers to the world. The comfort of the grace of Christ will do much to heal and bless and soothe the mind. The prayers offered in sincerity will be the means of saving souls. The grossness of the minds of many worldly physicians is one of the reasons why we should have sanitariums that will guard souls from all commonness. Pure and undefiled religion is to bear sway in all our medical institutions. And when our physicians see that disease is mastering their patients, shall they ignore the origin of the disease? Shall they fail to point out the fact that disease is the result of sin?
Is that physician honest who tries to cure physical disease but never prescribes the divine antidote? Let us make sure that the physician placed at the head of a sanitarium is a converted man. The fear and love of God will lead the converted physician to make special efforts to illuminate the minds of those dead in trespasses and sins. Unless God, the great physician, heals, there is no hope. After the physician has done all in his power to relieve suffering, let him, with tact and tenderness, his own soul illumined by the heavenly rays of sanctifying truth, point the afflicted one to the divine healer, telling him that the gospel of Christ is his only hope.
Every physician needs a personal religion. He who guards the bodily health should have an understanding of how to promote the health of the soul. The one who stands as a physician should teach the sick that the great question that should occupy their minds is, "What shall I do to be saved?" When the friends of the sick are in the institution, their souls torn by the plowshare of trial, let the physician speak to them words in season. Confessions are often made to a physician, and secrets are opened before him. Opportunities come to him which open the door for the sowing of the seeds of truth. Let our physicians seize every such opportunity. The physicians in our institutions are to be wide awake to their responsibilities. They are to seek earnestly for that purity of word and deed, that comfort of hope, that sympathetic consolation, which is essential in their work. My brethren and sisters, I ask you to help us in preparing the Paradise Valley Sanitarium to do the best service, the work that will tell for time and for eternity. I ask you, my dear friends, to help us in this time of need, and I believe that you will.